Chapter 6.
We have only ever come here on entirely legitimate...
Cad fumed as he stepped forward, but Otso flung out a muscular arm against Cad's chest. The blonde wizard stopped in his tracks, but his glower didn't leave his mustachioed face.
I think it would be best for you to accept, Otso rumbled to his friend.
Why? Cad whined. It's a ridiculous wager. We can go to the Dean if we really need to.
Because we are battle mages, and we are teammates.
Otso moved his hairy mitt to grip Cad's shoulder.
That means we don't go running to the Dean to settle every little disagreement. We respect our teammates enough to settle our problems between ourselves like gentlemen.
Fine, Cad scowled at me. Zeh, if you win, you'll never see us around the laboratory again, I'll promise you that.
Good. I checked in the back of my mind to see if Ferrix had calmed down at all, but the little Shamrosh was still growling and bristling at his former owner. I wasn't surprised that Cad was the one who meant me the most harm. So do you want to set up the poppets right here, or do you want to call another crowd to watch you get your ass kicked?
We are far past the time for a poppet duel, Cad sneered. If you're really ready to keep up with the Battle Magic team, you should be able to duel without a safety net. I propose a duel duel. Just me and Otso against you and your fox bitch.
What, to the death?
Taslin snarled. She dropped her basket and twirled her iron knife in her fingers.
Is a broken hammer worth it?
No, not to the death, or nobody would survive to graduation.
Otso shook his head and patted the handle of his warhammer.
We fight until one team can't cast any more. Either your weapon breaks, your hands break, or you'll pass out.
You're not going to be able to use your hammer anyway, I pointed out. You said it was broken, so you might as well just not use it.
Fair enough.
Otso leaned his hammer back against the side of the laboratory, made fists of his paws, then he started to stretch and wave his arms above his head.
I can cast without a focus, but one of you will have to jettison yours as well to make it fair.
Otso, have you ever seen me cast with a focus? I spread my hands out. It's always from the hands. We're at an equal advantage here.
My knife is not a focus.
Taslin showed her teeth and the blade of her knife.
It's just a weapon.
If Taslin gets her knife, Otso should be able to use his fists,
Cad interjected. He reached out and clasped his hand over Otso's fist and held it up for a moment.
He's a physical adept, you know.
Isn't this a fight of magic, not of fists?
Nora interjected.
We are getting away from the point of this duel. I propose that the gentleman with the rapier be allowed to use it, but I'm also happy to be there second instead of Taslin.
Why?
Cad looked from Nora to me and then back again.
You're new on campus, aren't you? Don't tell me this human has already entranced you as well.
I do have some battle magic training.
Nora raised an eyebrow.
And I've been tutoring Zare in his battle magic for some time now.
Taslin turned to look Nora fully in the face. Then she winked at her.
I don't mean to malign your skills, Nora, but...
This is not your fight. I patted Nora on the shoulder. Then I looked over at Cad and Otso. How about Cad gets his rapier and Taslin gets a potion of her own choosing? That's kind of her specialty, just like waving around the world's skinniest little sword is Cad's.
Very well,
Cad sniffed. He held up one hand with his fingers splayed out.
Shall we say 5 minutes?
5 minutes should be enough.
Taslin glanced toward the laboratory.
Nora, would you mind entertaining these gentlemen while Zare and I fetch my potion?
I am nothing if not entertaining.
Nora clapped her hands and bowed to us. No need to break out the whole routine. I lowered my voice so that Cad and Otso couldn't hear us.
Just chat with them and make sure they don't do anything shady.
Aye, aye.
Nora winked at me. Then she turned and strode over to Cad and Otso.
So, gentlemen, how long have you been in training as battle mages?
I watched Nora lean against the door to the laboratory. Then I headed around the other side of the lab toward the back door, and I silently gestured for Taslin to follow me. I wasn't going to hide where I was going from Cad and Otso, but I didn't need their eyes on me either. I headed past the still where we'd buried even more of my gems, held the back door open for Taslin, and then slipped in and closed it behind us.
I only have a few ingredients for my potions here,
Taslin muttered as soon as the door was closed.
I use plants, Zare, not chemicals.
A lot of my chemicals are derived from plants. I gestured to the many jars of chemicals and minerals that lined the shelves. Then I pointed at the humming machinery that took up much of the room. And we always have my black powder in a pinch. Katanatsa won't know the difference between a powder bomb and, an instant fire potion.
I'm not opposed to blowing those two up a little,
Taslin conceded.
But we can't just rely on that. We need to have a real strategy.
Absolutely. I grabbed some round glass bottles, thought about getting some of my contact explosives, and then decided that a wizard's duel wasn't going to be a stable enough environment to keep them from blowing up. I'd have to rely on firepower. I grabbed a small scoop and started to fill up the bottles with black powder. I have my gems, but what are you going to use in a battle besides these? We agreed on just one thing for you.
Perhaps we can share your magic through our psychic bond?
Taslin suggested. Her ears flattened, her eyes grew bright, and she touched her shoulder where she'd carved her sigil.
Try it.
All right. I imagined the sigil she'd carved on my ankle, and the patch of skin there started to itch. I could feel the warmth coursing through the still healing scar, and my skin prickled as the magic began to activate. How do you feel? Want to try it out?
I feel...
Taslin blinked her bright amber eyes. Then she rubbed at the hair on the back of her neck. A low growl emanated from her throat. She clapped one hand to her mouth and blinked at me.
Well, that came on all of a sudden. I hope it answers your question.
That would be Ferrix. Even though I knew we were about to take part in one of the most dangerous fights of our lives so far, I couldn't help but feel a spring of hope bubbling up in my heart. I grabbed Taslin's shoulders, grinned, and pressed a kiss to her petal-soft lips. Taz, you can feel him. That means you can connect with my magic through our link.
Good.
Taslin grinned back at me, and a gentle pink blush spread over her cheeks. One of her ears cocked up and swiveled toward the window.
Do we have time to test it out?
Bad idea in the lab. I corked the half-dozen bottles of black powder I'd filled. Then I started to tuck each of them into the little straw holders that Professor Menke had occasionally used to transport samples of his work to other alchemists. Almost all of my powers would wreck this place.
You have a point.
Taslin tapped her lips and frowned.
It's not as though I don't know how to manipulate energy. I've spent several years learning Reiki.
Then you have more experience than I do with this, I said. I stuffed the straw-covered bottles into a netted bag and handed them to Taslin. The important thing is that you have to go with what the energy wants. If it wants up, it's going to go up. If it wants out, it's going to go out. You just have to aim it and shape it.
Good.
Taslin nodded.
So our battle strategy? Should I just follow your lead?
Well, Cad is probably going to take the offense, since he has the rapier, I observed. Atso won't have his hammer, so he's more likely to play defense. The problem is that we'll both be working with the same energy and the same dynamic at the same time, so we won't be able to do that.
Then we'll have to work one man each.
Taslin shrugged.
And we'll simply double up on defense. Would you prefer to take Cad or Atso?
We'll need to attack one man at a time. I shook my head. If we take Atso out, Cad's defense is shot. If we take Cad out, Atso may just end the duel.
Then we both focus on attacking Cad?
Taslin nodded and secreted the netted bag of corked bottles into the folds of her skirt. Yeah, I think that's our best option, I agreed. I glanced over at the front door and took a deep breath. All right. You've got your explodey potions, so throw them when there's a flame to light them. How's your throwing arm?
Tolerable.
Taslin pushed up her long black sleeve to show a pale, freckled, and thoroughly muscled right arm. Great. I leaned in, kissed her, and patted her on the arm. Then I think we're set. Just follow my lead and keep an eye out for Atso.
Do you really think he'll attack?
Taslin asked as we headed outside again. There's no reason for him not to, I reminded her. I made sure to lock the door behind me as we left. I wasn't looking forward to the possibility of getting blasted by Cad and Atso's magic, but I tried not to think about the feeling of being flayed by a water jet or scorched by a fireball. I especially didn't want Taslin to worry or to sense my own nervousness, so I just hoped that she would chalk any static she was getting on my end up to more anxiety on Ferrix's part.
It's been 7 minutes, Cad sneered as we approached the lab's front door.
The blonde elvenborn sheathed his silvery rapier and clicked his heels together.
I trust you're thoroughly prepared.
We're good,
I clapped my hands together. Then I pointed to the pockmarked, moss-covered clearing, where a decade of alchemical experiments had taken their toll. Let's fight over there so we don't burn the lab down, yeah? Lots of flammable stuff in there.
I hope you're ready to feel that burn.
Cad pushed his long blue sleeves up, strode over toward the clearing, and beckoned to Otso as he walked. He didn't even look behind him, as though he were calling a servant.
Potions, Otso!
Don't forget your hammer!
Nora pointed at Otso's warhammer where it leaned against the wall.
It's worse than useless right now.
Otso shook his head as he loped behind Cad.
I'll deal with it when we're done.
Shall I referee, then?
Nora clasped her hands together and glanced between the two teams as we took our places on the field.
You're hardly a disinterested party, are you?
Cad cocked a groomed eyebrow at Nora.
No, but I'd like to be useful,
Nora replied.
Your task can be to run and fetch the campus healers if someone gets seriously hurt.
Taslin called to Nora. Yeah, stay back and keep safe in case something really, bad happens, I called to Nora. I stopped, estimated that I was about 15 feet away from Cad and Otso, and dug my heels into the ground. I just hoped that Nora would get my meaning and intervene if we actually looked like we were about to die. I didn't care if I beat Cad and Otso on honorable terms. I just wanted them off my back. I spread out my hands, straightened my shoulders, and took a deep breath. Let's go.
I'm ready when you are.
Taslin stopped about a yard away from me. Her bag of powder-filled bulbs wasn't visible, so at least I knew that Cad and Otso couldn't see what she had or how many. The fox girl pushed back her black hood, held up one hand, and slid the other into the folds of her skirt. I broke off and squinted as faint rainbow trails began to drift in front of my vision. I could see a halo of purple and orange flames flaring dimly around Taslin's body, and the longer I looked, the brighter they grew. When I looked over to Otso and Cad, I could see their auras as well. I knew I hadn't used my magical sight yet, so I figured that I was looking through Taslin's seer eyes. I relaxed my eyes and let myself sink into the sight. All right, I'm ready. Otso and Cad nodded to each other and then turned back to us. The bear man held up his huge hairy paws in a defensive position, just like I'd predicted, while Cad dropped into a gentle crouch and pulled his rapier from its gilded scabbard. Otso's aura radiated a deep, calm blue and a healthy reddish-brown, while Cad's aura flared a urine-like amber color that melted into a bloody crimson.
En garde!
Cad pointed the diamond spark tip of his rapier at me as his free hand flew up behind him. The outline of his aura started to glow with yellowish-silver sparks, and the sparks quickly widened to a wide, glittering ribbon. That's magic, I thought to Taslin in the span of a split moment. But he can't be using his yellow light attack already.
Layer your magical sight on top of what I can see,
Taslin thought back.
That way we can see what he's about to do.
It barely took us a second to have the conversation, and it took half that long for me to dip into the passive purple sight I'd inherited from Tanokloid. It only took our combined intelligence a moment to understand what the snapshot of magical data in front of us meant. A jagged, violet line squiggled its way down from the sky and culminated in a kind of sunburst glow around Cad's form. The violet light continued down the entire length of Cad's outstretched arm, brightened to a kind of brilliant lavender, and zigzagged toward me from the tip of the rapier. I kept my hair cropped close to my head, so that I wouldn't catch it on fire during an experiment. But now every single short hair on my head stood up straight. My scalp, palms, and the tips of my fingers started to tingle, and a faint smell of burning metal and snow wafted under my nose.
Lightning!
I thought at Taslin, as I launched myself sideways toward her. I wrapped my arms around her waist, reached into the black and white static that was the portal magic of a skelk trapped in a diamond, and imagined us both about 2 yards to the left. I saw the trees move past me and then jump, and I knew that I'd teleported us both out of the way. An intense white bolt of lightning struck Cad on his golden crown with a blinding flash and was followed immediately by a booming crack that rattled the teeth in my skull and the ground beneath my feet. The second flash followed a mere moment after, and this time a yellow-white bolt of lightning sizzled past us just a couple of yards away. The lightning arced from the tip of Cad's rapier to the patch of moss where I'd been standing, and I could smell the acrid stench of burnt plants as the thunder echoed away. Once the lightning stopped, a blackened patch of about a foot across with a 6-inch radius of scorched earth remained where I'd stood.
"Look at a mighty warrior running away from the blow!"
Cad sneered. The blonde elvenborn didn't look any worse the wear for having just channeled a bolt of lightning toward me.
"Or are you scared because you're powerless to control it? Little monkeys running from what you don't understand!"
"Oh, we've mastered some things." I winked at Taslin, held my hand up with my palm out, then reached inside of myself and summoned the flame jet that had once been Valeris's soul. Valeris's orange fire swirled in my stomach and licked up through my lungs like the aftermath of an Inkatian blue curry. The flame sparked through my veins, lit up my heart, and roared down my arms, even though none of it was visible to anyone except for myself and Taslin. The stream of flame would normally have become visible, as it shot out of the center of my palms or the tips of my fingers. But I'd learned the trick to holding it back, and I just hoped that the action would transfer over to Taslin. The flame that built up slowly in my cupped fingers felt hot like bathwater, but the only visible sign of its presence was a faint shimmer of heat in the air. Taslin's ears pricked up, and her head jutted forward for a moment, as though she was about to cough something up. She regained her balance, shoved a hand into the folds of her skirt, and grabbed one of the bottles of black powder. The fox girl wound up, let the shining sphere loose into the air toward Cad, and thrust her hand palm first after her projectile. I mentally opened the block I'd set between my fingers and let the floodgates of fire open onto Cad. I could feel the heat on my face as the fire that had been building up in my hands blossomed out into a huge orange and yellow fireball the size of a watermelon. But I tightened my hands to keep the ensuing stream of fire to a pencil-thin wand after the flaming ball left my hands. I knew that even if Cad managed to escape the fireball, the resulting explosion from the black powder ought to deal him some damage. Cad craned his neck up as the glass bottle arced into the air, but once the flame appeared in my hands, he twisted his neck around with a downward drooping frown. The blue-eyed half-elf lifted himself up on his toes, jumped to the side, and slammed into Otso's broad, furry arms. Taslin cupped her hands together the same way that I had, then she aimed her fingers about a yard to Otso's other side. Her arms and then her hands glowed brighter and brighter with orange energy until she pulled her fingers away from each other abruptly, and then her strong fingers seemed to cradle the fireball as she pushed it outwards. The bottle had a head start, but my fireball flew faster. By the time the powder-filled bulb had reached its obsolete mark, the widening ball of flame had enlarged to engulf the area from the top of a man's head to the ground. The enormous ball of flame seemed to hover in the air for a moment, and then the light coming from the yellow cracks in its orange blooms got much brighter. The fireball expanded very rapidly from there. Otso grabbed Cad around the waist with one arm, held out the other meaty paw, and lugged his friend away from the explosion as quickly as he could. He stumbled when the shockwave caught him, and the way he shook his shaggy head suggested that he'd felt the wave in his ears, but somehow the huge hulk of hairy muscle kept himself upright. The large bear man started to leap toward Taslin's ball of flame, but he turned on his heels as he caught sight of the fiery trap. He whirled backward, held a few fingers up, and uttered a low, piercing whistle even as the licking flames cast orange light on his hairy face. The outside of his aura began to glimmer with white sparkles. The air roared past my ears, the ground shook under my feet, and a great meaty palm of air slapped me in the chest. I could feel an even hotter wind on my face now, and I let my fire powers drop as I braced myself against the impact of the explosion. I knew I didn't have any magic power that could protect me or Taslin from its concussive force, so I just had to hope that my calculations about distance and dosage were accurate. I winced as the loud crack from the explosion reached my ears, but I sighed in relief when I realized that the slowing fireball wouldn't reach us. A burst of hot air like a dog's breath drifted in front of my face. A bubble of faintly glowing air grew from the tips of Otso's black claws and pushed back against the orange flame of Taslin's fireball like a yolk carving its space out inside an egg. A cooler breeze whipped past my face and stole the heat from the flame. The air blew little runnels in the slowing explosion and truncated the flow of my fire as it poured from my palms.
"He's keeping the fire away with wind,"
Taslin thought to me.
"Will stronger fire help?"
Cad blinked up at Otso with unfocused eyes, shook his head, and then staggered to his feet. He still clutched his rapier in his right hand, but his grip described wobbly circles in the air. Otso's a pretty strong guy, I thought back. I could feel the now stiff breeze on my close-cropped scalp and against my face, and my fire was barely more than a stub now. I decided to keep the fire going just to keep Otso busy while I traded thoughts with Taslin. "And they're already fighting fire. Now is the time to surprise them." Cad dropped to one knee and pressed the tip of his sword to the ground. Then he planted his left palm onto the moss. His pale amber and muddy crimson auras began to blend into a ruddy orange in the center. Whatever he was doing with his energy wasn't anything I was used to, but I had to interrupt whatever he was doing. "Let's knock them off their feet," I thought to Taslin. "I'll push up their daisies, and you build us a shield. Just imagine the stone coming up from the ground, and the magic'll do the rest." I mentally reached down into the ground and imagined a giant jagged stalagmite right under Cad and Otso's feet. I gave the huge stone spear a mental tug upward and felt it shoot upward through the ground with blinding speed in a way that had nothing to do with vibrations in the earth beneath my feet. I could even feel Taslin using the magic to pull up a wall in front of us, and it just spurred me to force my stalagmite up faster. I wanted to see Cad and Otso fall off the rising ground before Taslin's defensive formation went all the way up. The earth beneath Cad began to dome up just as brilliant blue and white sparks started to form around the Elvenborn's aura, and Otso cocked his ear to the ground. The jagged point of pale green and beige stone broke through the moss and sprayed dark brown dirt everywhere as blue and white sparks shot down the blade of Cad's rapier. And Otso gripped Cad's sword arm with surprise. The stalagmite burst upward, and Cad screamed a full-throated, wordless cry as the bear man dragged him away from danger once again. Striped beige and white rock slabs shot up in front of Taslin and me just as a bluish-white burst of light left the end of Cad's rapier. "Rock blocks lightning," I thought at Taslin with more than a hint of pride. I couldn't see what Cad and Otso were doing over the tops of the wall, but we'd undoubtedly block their attack. "Nice job on the wall."
"That didn't feel like lightning,"
Taslin thought back. Her hand dipped into the folds of her skirt. Cracks started to zigzag over rock slabs. The cracks filled with translucent blue material almost as soon as they appeared, and more cracks quickly spiderwebbed across the face of our shield. "Ice crumbles rock," I thought. I held up my hands and summoned Valeris's raging fire again. "Let's melt them. Get ready to throw flame." I planted my left foot forward and my right foot back as I felt the fire roar through my veins again. I could feel Taslin's movements in my own muscles now. I only had to flick my eyes over to see that she was mirroring my stance perfectly, right down to the individual twitches of our fingers. But I didn't need to do that. I could feel her ears pricking and her tail fluffing as the fire sparked at the tips of her fur. And I could feel the rush of euphoria as power poured from her fingertips. Our twin flames became two more and reunited with each other once again as blasts of fire against the rapidly freezing stone wall. The flames burned red-orange against the limestone, and tendrils of steam gouted out in frantic curls as the ice melted away. As the fire burned, the rock cracked even more, and soon chips of stone began to fall away from the wall. "We're making progress," I thought at Taslin. "Get ready to throw the bottle." The wall exploded toward me in a burst of cold water. Stone chips that were any size from darts to dinner plates flew at my head with a glowing rush of white behind them, and I could feel the first freezing drops strike my face along with the first shards of stone. I shut off the firepower, grabbed Taslin, and turned my back toward the oncoming jet. I squeezed my eyes shut and gripped my girlfriend as bits of stone broke against my back. "Brace yourself," I thought at Taslin, as a cannon of icy water pounded against my back. I'd been expecting pieces of stone to hammer my back and legs until I was bruised and broken. but after a second I realized that the freezing water pounding my back with icy needles hurt a lot more than the sensation of breaking stone. I understood the situation when I saw a piece of limestone fly past and shatter into tiny pieces on the soft moss. I'd told Taslin to raise a wall, but she'd ended up with the thinnest wall possible. I realized that I wasn't enabling Taslin to draw from the stone along with me. I was just splitting the power output between us. And I must have been using a pretty big percentage of the magic at that moment without leaving much for Taslin. I would have to pay closer attention to that if we were going to win this fight.
"Had enough?" Cad taunted from behind me. "Or do you need a bath, you dirty ape? Protecting your smelly, slutty fox. She'll never get clean like that, Zaya."
"Let's blow the shit out of him,"
Taslin thought to me.
"Fuck fair play."
"Great idea, but one problem. The powder won't light if it's wet," I thought back. "What about the water?"
"Blast him with fire with your left hand,"
Taslin thought.
"I'll throw the bottles overhand with my right and keep Otso off with my left."
"Perfect." I thrust my left hand behind me and pulled up another gout of Valeris's fire to throw at his buddies. I had to admit that I enjoyed using his power right under their noses, and I smiled wide when I felt a gush of warm steam puff over my back. "Go!" Taslin grabbed the bag of bottles from the folds of her skirt, wound her arm back, and threw the bag overhand with her right hand. She held up her left hand as a stream of fire shot from her palm, and in the light of the fire, her lips curved up in a smile.
"Cheater!"
Cad's voice shrilled through the roar of the fire. I felt the sudden cessation of pounding water from my back, and I turned around just in time to see Cad's water cannon arc through the air toward the netted bag of black bottles. The bottles tinkled ridiculously, like sleigh bells ringing out in the night instead of explosive devices being smashed to pieces. The shining bits of glass mixed in with the wet clumps of black powder as they fell to the ground.
"Enough."
Taslin's voice was resolute in my mind as she raised her copper head. Her eyes were a brilliant, sparkling yellow, and they glowered brighter by the second.
"This fight is beneath us, and we're holding back for the sake of sportsmanship. Let's finish him."
I reached into the brilliance of the sun, of the cleaning light of fire, of Taslin's beautiful eyes that could see magic all on their own. Where I usually felt my muscles straightening and my cells aligning under the glare of my inner sun, now I felt like a vehicle for Taslin's gaze. I turned and aimed my hands and my eyes at Cad. The blonde half-elf dropped his rapier, and then he dropped to his knees. He doubled over and put his hands on his stomach like one gripped with nausea, but his watery blue gaze never wavered from my sight. Cad was tiny. He was a ridiculous little boy with lots of showy flourishes and no stamina for a real-life fight. His power was limited and pulled from his soul like teeth. He was an inveterate yes-man who needed a leader with vision and a stable friend. And he had no leader now, so he would keep banging his head against the same thing until he wore himself out. He was to be pitied, like a mindless insect that had injured itself beyond function without knowing. To squash him now would be a mercy. Otso had lowered himself to one knee, and he launched over as well with his paws splayed flat on the ground. His big brown eyes gazed up at Taslin through his shaggy brown bangs. What he was thinking was none of my concern. He was a mere accessory to this fight, incapable of stopping his weaker friend from engaging in these shenanigans.
"The duel is ended now, is it not?"
When Taslin opened her mouth, her voice echoed off the trees. Her hair shone like gold in the light of our magic.
"One side is unable to cast. Do you agree?"
I crooked my index finger once, and Cad's head bobbed up and down.
"Will a nod satisfy the terms of the duel?"
Nora asked. "Oh, I think they got the point." I glanced over at Taslin. "Don't you, Taz?"
"It's the new penalty for trespassing."
Taslin crooked all of her fingers at once, and Otso's arms squeezed tight under himself.
"Remember it well."
"Remember it well," I echoed. I squeezed my fingers and watched Cad's fingers dig into his own skin. I didn't feel the kind of satisfaction I might have felt once at the sight. I just knew that I had to show Cad how much pain I could inflict on him if he chose to disobey me again. Or else he would keep on his mechanical crusade until he bashed his insectile brains out. "Do you think they'll remember it, Taslin?"
"I think we can make it more memorable."
Taslin made a complicated sign with her fingers. Otso twisted toward Cad, reached his huge paws out toward his friend, and then slowed to a stop. The bear man's muscles bulged through his leathers as he fought the yellow enchantment, and a guttural whine started to stutter from his throat.
I think perhaps it would be easier to allow them to walk out of here under their own power, instead of having to carry them to the healers.
Nora twisted her hands. Her dark eyes flitted back and forth from me and Taslin to Cad and Otso.
Just so we can all get on with our days.
That makes sense. I took a deep breath, lowered my hands, and let the yellow light go. But I couldn't find the off switch today. My teeth slipped against each other and my stomach growled like I'd had too much bean brew. I tried to steady my mind into that calm, detached bug watcher state again, but I could feel the light getting warmer in my veins as I did. I felt fear slip through my stomach at the thought that I might never be able to turn off this power. Then I remembered that it would have to stop when the soul gems powering it ran out. I glanced over at Taslin and realized that her hands were still up and her eyes still gleamed brighter than I'd ever seen them. Doesn't it, Taslin?
I suppose.
Taslin lowered her hands slightly, and the unnaturally yellow sunlight faded from the clearing. I suddenly realized that I'd been clenching my stomach, my teeth, and my shoulder blades. I drooped like a wet towel as my conscious mind let go of the tension. Otso sat back on his haunches, lowered his eyes, and placed his hands on his knees. He took a long, shaky breath. Cad collapsed onto the ground, wrapped his arms around himself, and started to whine. Get your hammer and go. I pointed to the hammer that Otso had left at the door. I could feel angry energy pounding through my veins, and I wasn't sure that my hand was entirely steady because of it. But I didn't care about being cooler than cool anymore. And I don't see either of you around here anymore, understood?
Understood.
Otso pushed himself to his knees, loped over to his hammer, and slung the weapon over his shoulder. He gestured to a gasping Cad, then he headed toward the trees.
Come, Cadwallader.
Under-fucking-stood!
Cad spat out. He finally climbed to his feet, grabbed his rapier, and shoved the sword into its scabbard. The blonde elvenborn lifted his hand to his forehead, fired off a limp-wristed salute, then clicked his heels and turned to go.
Bloody savages don't understand the value of a good fight, do they?
As I watched Cad stomp off into the trees, I had a feeling that I hadn't really seen the last of Valeris's friends.